Come on. Glory to God. Glory to God. Last week we started a message on power to live. Amen. God just doesn't save us and then say, well, you're on your own and, you know, have a good life until you get to heaven. Right? He brings us to Jesus and then he says, I want to help you live your life out. I want to give you power to live. I want to give you a supernatural life, a life that is above everybody else's life. Amen? Because if we know that we have God inside of us, then we know that we have a power on the inside of us that doesn't exist for everybody else. Amen? But if you're not tapped into that power, and the way that you tap into that power is by faith in who gave you that power. And we're going to see that again more clearly today. Again, I'm going to rehearse and go over a few things that we went over last week real quickly and then get into the meat of what I want to say today. Come on. I can't get along without Him. I can't do what I do without Him. I know His anointing. I know His power. I know the difference between doing something on my own and something in His power. Hallelujah. Again, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Don't you love the Word of God? Yes. Amen. And think about this, that the Holy Spirit inspired these men to write these letters to others so that they could be written to us. That just thrills me. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly and great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That last verse, and we're going to hit some of these things again and go a little bit further, but that last little verse there in verse 8, it says, for if these things are yours and abound, if is an interesting word because if means it could be or it might not be, right? And it's not up to God whether they are, it's up to us whether they are. Right? So I'm going to choose what I choose, but understand that not all things that happen to me or through me are because God wants it to or doesn't want it to. It's because I choose certain things. Right? Let me read that again. For if these things are yours and abound, so you can have a little of these or you can have a lot of these. I don't know about you, but I want a lot. I said I want a lot. So good. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That means that we know Him. And we have an experiential knowledge of Him. Not just our cerebral knowledge of the facts of who Jesus was, or we can quote the whole New Testament, but we have a relationship with Him that's based on knowledge. I know Him. He talks to me. I walk with Him. I have His divine nature. He's in me. Do you believe that or not? I mean, is that something you really believe? come on, is that something that we make take advantage of all the time? I think not. But watch this. If we'll begin to get a hold of it and understand it, then we can have fruit. And what is fruit? Fruit is the result of growth, and it's a natural byproduct of something that's attached to a vine. Right? See, we're the branches, but He's the vine. Right? And what does that mean? That all the nourishment, everything that we need comes through the vine, but comes out to us. But if it's coming out to us the way it should, there should be fruit dangling at the end of the branches. What's the fruit? Well, I think the fruit is manifold. I think the fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, kindness, and you know, and all of those things. It's that, but it's also the effect that we have in our lives toward others. Does Jesus love you? Do you know Him? That ought to rub off on somebody else. Right? People, somebody said this. He said, we ought to witness to everybody at all times. And if necessary, use words. Right? If necessary, use words. What does that mean? That means that we're so full of God, we're so full of His glory that it just rubs off on us. Hallelujah. There was, I think it was Smith Wigglesworth, it might have been somebody else, but he was riding a train in England, and there was an Anglican priest that came up to him on the priest and on the train, and he fell down on his knees and said, "My God, Your presence, man, convicts me of my sin." So that's the fruit of the knowledge of the Lord in his life. Isn't that what we want? Come on, it doesn't have to be just a preacher. There was a man, this was years ago, and he wrote a book called Practicing the Presence, and it was a Brother Lawrence, I believe his name was, and he, you know what he did? He was in a monastery. You know what he did? He washed dishes for Jesus. But he practiced the presence of God everywhere. And people would come to him from all around just to be in his presence. I like that. I want that. But in order for us to have the fruit abounding in our lives, we need to go through the steps that he's talking about. Oh, glory to God. How many want more of that in your life? You know, just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Go back again to verse 2. It says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Grace and peace. It's His grace. Everything that I'm talking about is because He's decided that He wants us to have it. And the peace is talking about the fact that He's no longer mad at us because Jesus paid the price for our sin. That gulf that was in, you know, fixed between us has been obliterated. I love that picture. It was on a track that I saw many years ago, but there's a cliff and there's God on one side and there's humanity on the other side, and there's a bridge that's made with a cross, and that cross is the way that you get from humanity to God. It's through Jesus. Amen. So the grace and the peace of God is multiplied to us, how? By the knowledge of who God is and what He's done. Like we said last week, and I'll just go over this quickly. We are all in the same faith. Anybody who's a believer, anybody that's going to heaven, it doesn't matter what denomination you are, what church you go to. If Jesus is Lord of your life, you're my brother or you're my sister. We ought to try to get along better here because we're going to spend eternity together. Watch this. We live out our faith through grace. What does that mean? Everything that I do that's for God is because He's gifted me to do it. Whether from a natural standpoint or even from a spiritual standpoint. Glory to God. I believe every musician and the greatest musicians in the world were created to worship God. That's their purpose. That's their plan. I'm not saying they can't do other things, but their absolute primary purpose is to worship God. That's what the gift was given to them for. Because it's grace that He gave it. We must know what grace has provided for us. You must know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You must know that when God wants you to speak to somebody else, He'll give you the words to say to them at that self same hour. You have to know that He'll use you with the gifts of the Spirit. He'll give you words of wisdom. He'll give you words of knowledge. He'll give you discerning of spirits. He'll give you working of miracles. He'll give you all of those things, but you have to know it. And when I say know it, I'm not just saying, well, I acknowledge it, but a knowing through experience that it's available to you. Come on. And the way that you get to know it is you practice. You keep practicing. You say, Lord, this is available. I don't quite get it yet, but I'm going to keep working on it until I do. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And again, we said this whole idea that we're saved or been born again. We've come into the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word saved means sozo, and it means so much more than I'm just going to go to heaven. It means to save. It means to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger, to heal, deliver, to give eternal life. He's done that for us, right? He's already done that for us. Jesus isn't up there going, I've got a new case today. I've got to get back up on the cross. He points to the evidence that the cross exists and that it's applicable to our case. Did you know in a court of law that when something goes into court, they talk about precedents? In other words, I'm coming at you with this precedent and I'm filing this suit based on this precedent. The district court of blah, blah, blah said in 1804 that this is the precedent. And so they refer back to that precedent when they're adjudicating laws or cases. Your case in heaven has already been adjudicated. And the precedent was the cross. What does that mean? That means I don't have to get grace. I have grace. How did I get grace? By faith. By trusting that God gave it to me. By trusting that He was with me. By trusting that He had me on His mind. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Go to verse 3 now. This is so cool. As His divine power. Ever say divine power? Divine power. Not your power. Not my power. But divine power. Godly power. Come on. As His divine power has given to us a few things that pertain to life and godliness. Is that what it says? He's given us all things. He's given us, how? By His divine power. He's given us what? All things. Sometimes we're on the begging end of something that's already been given to us. God, I need Your wisdom. 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 I need to know what to do. God, I need to know what to do. God, I need to know what to do. And He says, haven't you read in My Word where it says that Jesus has made unto you all wisdom, all comfort? Come on. Haven't you read in My Word that if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of Me liberally? You know, ask of Me, and I will give liberally all to ask. But what's the key is that you got to ask in faith. So when you don't know what to do, you can ask for wisdom and you know that you've got the wisdom before you actually have the wisdom. Before you get the download of the wisdom. God, I don't know what to do, but You do. So I am not going to be anxious. I'm going to be in peace knowing because of my knowledge of you. Right? That's a done deal. Everybody say done deal. So if it's a done deal, then I can say it's mine before I see it. Before I feel it. Come on. I have it because he said it. How many believe that you're going to heaven? How do you know? Give me the proof. That's the word. That's the same principle that I'm talking about. Is I know I'm going to heaven because I made Jesus the Lord of my life. And I remember the day when he came into my heart and I became a child of God. Right? But working out that grace in our lives, we should be going from faith to faith in different things. It's like, Lord, you saw me through the last time. You're going to see me through this time. Right? I asked for wisdom. You gave it to me. Lord, I didn't know how it was going to work out. So my peace is based on what he said, not on what I have. Glory to God. All right, come on. I got to keep going. I don't want to keep preaching what I preached last week, but it's still good. Hallelujah. He's given to us, his divine power is given to us all things that pertain to life and to godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and by virtue. He's called us by glory and virtue that was his. Look at that. He's called us by. But then we're going to go on to see that he wants us to live by it or live up to the standard of it. I can't do that. Yes, you can. How do I know you can? Because he's given you his divine power to do it. Let me read that again. I can't do it. I could never be good. I could never. Listen to me. We're always striving. We're always going forward. But we shouldn't be at the place that I can't. We should be at the place that I will. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Wow, that's awesome. Verse 4. By which you've been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Don't you love to receive a promise? You know, I'm going to be there. You know, I'm going to pay off your bills. Whatever it is, I've got a promise. Well, I begin to rejoice when I get the promise rather than when I get the check. If I know the source of the promise. Come on. If I know that I know that I know that the one who promised is going to fulfill his promise, then I can rejoice when I've got the promise, not when I get the promise. Does that make sense? Well, we have to believe that he's a man of his word. We have to believe that he is the one who promised. So if he promised me that he would give me wisdom, then I just have to rejoice that I have it. But I don't know what to do. Well, start rejoicing because he's going to give it. Does that make sense? All right, let's go on. Because this is, again, we want fruit out of our lives. We want fruit hanging off of our branches. We want fruit. Now watch this. Verse 4, by who's given to us exceeding and great and precious promises, that through these, through what? The promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You who are born again are not the same as those who don't know God. Why? Because those who don't know God, who've never made Jesus the Lord of their life, haven't been made new in their spirit, and they cannot be a receptacle where the Holy Spirit can dwell. We're called the tabernacle of God. We're called the temple of God. Because he dwells with us. He dwells in us. Is that true? Is it true for you? Come on, say that with me. God dwells in me. The Holy Spirit dwells in me. I have the Spirit of God living in me. Who believes that? Come on. Sometimes we're out searching for the Spirit of God, and we go this way, and we go that way. We go to this meeting, we go to that meeting. If I could only find God. It's not finding Him, it's believing that you have Him when you don't feel Him. That's the key. Because when we know we have Him, we have His divine ability to live a life that would please Him. I can't live a life that pleases God by myself. Neither can you. You can't pray enough. You can't fast enough. You can't moan enough. You can't groan enough. You can't pay tithes enough. You can't do anything like that. It's only through what He's done for you and your knowledge of that that you can live a life. How many want to please God? Hallelujah. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Right? Come on. How do you want to please God? By faith. What's that? I believe you, God. I believe your word. I believe what you said. I believe you've done that for me. Amen? So what are His promises? They're plentiful. In fact, but His promises to you are exceedingly and abundantly above all that you can ask or think. He wants to give you more than you want to get. No, I got to twist His arm. I got to do just right. If I fast for 40 days, then maybe He'll answer my prayers. Did you know fasting doesn't change God? We should fast, but fasting changes us. It puts our flesh under where we can hear Him a little clearer. Now, we don't have it so much these days, but in the olden days when we got our radio, our transistor, I remember the first one I got was about this big, you know, it was a little handheld thing. And I had a little dial on the side, you know. And so you're trying to get your radio station in, and you're just dialing that sucker in, you know. And that's not quite right. So you go back and you dial it up a minute. And then if you move five, I mean, some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. But you move a little bit, and you got to redial that sucker in, right? We have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. And when we deny our flesh, we're dialing that in just a little bit more, a little bit clearer. Does that make sense? Come on. Now watch, this is so good. Verse 5 says, for this very reason, giving all diligence, we talked about that last week. Diligence means I'm on it. I heard somebody say today that diligence requires commitment. I said, diligent requires commitment. Amen. Would somebody help her walk back there, please? Thank you. Diligence requires commitment. I'm committed to seeking God. You know what commitment does? It makes you do it when you don't want to do it. Right? Commitment makes you do it when you don't want to do it. I don't feel like doing it where you're going to do it anyway. Right? I don't feel like praying, but I'm going to pray anyway. I don't feel like reading the Word, but I'm going to read the Word anyway. I don't feel like worshiping You, God, because I'm a little bit ticked off that things haven't gone the way I wanted to go or things aren't going right for me, but I'm going to worship You anyway, Lord. Come on. It's in that place. I remember once I was at a place where it seemed like everything was lost, and I was screaming out, and of course the enemy of my soul was just screaming at me, it's all over, you've lost, whatever. I remember screaming this out, God, even if everybody forsakes me, I will praise Your name. I will worship You. I refuse to be in a place where I am not in Your presence. Right? Commitment. Okay, let's go through that again. For this very reason. What reason? The reason that His divine nature has been given to you. The reason is, for this very reason, the thing that you've escaped corruption. Add to your faith, to diligence, add to your faith virtue. And again, we said last week that virtue is moral character. Yeah. If you go back to that verse 3, it says, who called us by glory and virtue, His moral character. Yeah. He wants us to add to our faith moral character. In other words, He wants us to be growing into who He is. Hallelujah. Can we do that? I think we can. Yeah. This says we can. Again, we want the fruit. So if we want the fruit, we have to be diligent about it. We have to have faith. We have to have good moral character. And we have to have knowledge. What's that knowledge? We have to have knowledge of who He is. We have to have knowledge of what He's provided. We have to have knowledge of what He's done. I'm telling you, He is the same God today as He was yesterday. He'll be the same God tomorrow. I mean, He's done so much for us. It's incredible. He has healed the sick. He's delivered those who had no hope. He's given to those who couldn't possibly receive. How many times, even in this group, have we had places to go and things to do, and we said, well, that's impossible, but God, You've spoken to us to do it, and we end up getting it done. Come on, we've been on mission trips. I remember going to Africa, and when Bishop Frank said, we need your gift in Africa, I said, well, okay. And then I said, Holy Spirit, how's that going to happen? Because I didn't have the money to go to Africa. You know, it costs a lot of money to fly to go to Africa. And it costs money to be in Africa, right? And Lord, I don't have that money. The money is not the issue. My knowledge of how God supplies is the issue. Are you listening to me? I know that He took care of me last week, and He'll take care of me this week. And if He tells me to do something, He'll sustain me through it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we have to continually have that knowledge, that working knowledge of who He is in our lives, growing on a consistent basis. Watch this. To knowledge, self-control. I don't like that one. Do you know what that means? You have to tell you no. You have to tell you no. You have to tell yourself no to anxiety. You have to tell yourself no to hatred. You have to tell yourself no to anger. You have to tell yourself no. Come on, it's not me telling you no. It's not even the Holy Spirit telling you no. It's you telling you no. Because you already know what you should be doing and you're not doing, so it's you. I don't like that. How many would just love for us to have a meeting where we all come up here and get prayer and that God takes out of our lives everything that we don't want to be doing? Right? Lord, get that anger out of me. Get that lust out of me. Get all of that out of me, Lord. Get this worry out of me. That's not the way it works. The way it works is you take the promises of God and you apply them to your mind and to your heart, and you say no to anything that isn't that. Right? Fear not, for I am with thee. What does that mean? I'm not supposed to fear. Do not worry or have anxiety over anything. What does that mean? I'm not supposed to worry or have anxiety over anything. But by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the God of peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. But you have to think on these things. And he gives a list of things to think on. So when you want to think on something different, you have to tell yourself no. Is that easy? No. But again, I've said this before, define easy. If the end result is what you want, easy is not the question. Because if you don't do what you're supposed to do, then it might be simpler because it's your norm, but the results aren't what you want. So the end results aren't easy. It's just the process to getting. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but it will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. We need to be at the place where we're allowing God to begin to transform us, but we have to be doing it on a diligent basis. How many are going over and meditating on the promises of God on a consistent basis? Come on, that's what diligence is. If we have these things and our fruit is dependent upon the promises of God, are we going over the promises of God? It's just a question. Just a question. But your fruit that you want won't come until you do. What does that look like? That looked like in the Bible, and you say, Lord, you said you'd never leave me or forsake me. And you have to go over that and keep that before your mind over and over and over. Why? Then your knowledge of that becomes adaptive in your life. Right? This becomes who you are. I have the peace of God. I have the love of God. Right? I love the Lord and I love others because He's given me His love. Amen. Glory to God. How many have ever had somebody that you didn't like very much and was very hard to love? Many, 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 many of us. There are people in our lives that aren't as lovable as other people. But I don't allow that to be the indicator of whether I can love them or not. Because the Bible says that the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. And if God loves them and He does, then I'm going to love them. You know, I was reading in this week, I was reading in 1 John. And he talks a lot about, man, if you hate your brother, the love of God is not in you. Doggies. Right? Ooh, doggies. No. I've got the love of God in me, and I'm going to be able to love my brothers and my sisters and even my enemies because His love is on the inside of me. But I've got to see my life through the promise. Then I've got to be diligent to living that out. And then I've got to have the experiential working of that to help me grow to the next level in it. I want the fruit. Ever say fruit? I want the fruit. Glory to God. I've had many of you do this over the years, and it's something that we should continually be on the cusp of doing. Watch this. I preached a message about this a few years ago, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? Faith doesn't come by having heard the Word of God. In other words, it's a constant basis that you need to continually be hearing what the Word is saying, right? So this exercise, and I'll tell you how it's affected me, is that you take 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verses 4 through 8, you personalize it where it says love, because I have the love of God on the inside of me. Come on. I'm kind. And you just go through the whole thing, reading it. And in the Amplified, there's part of the verse that says, love always believes the best of every person. 13. Love believes the best of every person. That's tough. Here's what I've defined it over the years, is that love believes the potential of every person. In other words, they may be addicted now, but they've got the inside of them, they're going to be able to be free in Jesus' name. And love's desires to see them free rather than to give up on them. See what I'm saying? But the way this played out, I began to quote that over myself. When I say that, I had the verse up on the mirror that I got up every morning and shaved, brushed my teeth and all that. It was there. It was on the car when I was driving down the road. And so at least three times a day, I would go through those verses. I was at work one night and working swing shift. And, of course, you know, whatever shift you're on is the best shift. The others are just terrible, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. Well, day shift did this, graveyard did that, all that kind of stuff. But the fellow that I was working with started to talk about a person from day shift. And normally I would have got right involved in that. And I began to say something and it was just like a stopper went over my mouth. Because these verses were alive on the inside of me. I couldn't say over Bob what I would have said about Bob because love believes the best of every person. So what happened? Love became the vessel that I used at looking toward people, and it changed me forever. I hope you're getting something out of this today. It says again, verse 6, to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance. What does perseverance mean? I'm at it. I'm going to stick to it. Hallelujah. There have been times in pastoring this church, there are people who come up to me, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. Well, I said, God told me to do it. God told me to do it. Well, you ever think about quitting? Yeah. Well, why haven't you? Because God told me to do it. And He hasn't told me not to. When the church sold and we're up in the air, I said, God, it's been a good run. Is this it? Are we done? Because that was an option. We could have just shut down and let it go. And God said, nope. And so what do? You persevere. You pack up and move. One of the things that I hated about moving was that, Lord, I don't want to set up and tear down every week. Because when we did that before, we had the van and we moved everything out of the school into the van and then unloaded it somewhere else. And then Sunday morning, I have to load it back in the van and move it to the church. And God, I'm first of all, I'm, 25 years older than that now. And I don't necessarily want to do that. And I was whining. But the Lord said, He really didn't say anything. But then I caught myself and I said, oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me. How can I not do for you when you've done everything for me? Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. If I'm by myself and I'll do it. Lord, you call me to do it, I'll do it. You ask me to do it, Lord, I'll do it with pleasure. I have a good attitude about doing it. And God put us here, and it's been good. But the point is at times you have to persevere in your faith. You have to persevere. It doesn't seem to be working. This doesn't seem to be happening. But I'm going to persevere anyway. Why? Because God said it in His Word and He spoke it to my heart and I have the knowledge of that. So I'm going to continue to do it whether I like it or not or whether you like it or not or whether the devil likes it or not. I'm going to push on through. Come on. I'll tell you, there's people that God has called you to minister to and to pray for and to intercede for, right, that you need to push on through. You need to push on through. Come on. Come on. Let's go right here. Watch this. To perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. If you want the fruit, we've got to start becoming more godly. That's not very popular. What does that mean? I need to do what God says to do and not what I want to do. I need to do what God says to do rather than what the conventional world is saying to do. You know, when society doesn't line up with this, which way are we going to go? Are we going to move toward society or are we going to move toward this? We have to go to the Word. Right? We have to. Hallelujah. But I like this one. Brotherly kindness. It'd be great if we were just more kind to one another. More kind to one another. But that requires us to think less of ourselves and more of others. We can't be distracted or you know, just put off by having to bother with other people. Wouldn't it be nice to just feel that people were kind to you? Boy, I just love that place. Everybody seems to be so kind. Brotherly kindness. That means just acting right toward one another. But not acting right toward one another based on how they act toward you. Acting right toward one another based on that he said you're supposed to. So I'm going to be kind to you whether you're kind to me or not. Yeah, there are verses that are just, it's almost like, come on, how do you do that? You do it by faith. You know, Jesus said to not take offense. Well, some of you, you know, just make me mad. Not you in the room, I'm talking the internet. But watch this, some of you just make me mad. How can I not be offended or walk in the offense of that anger? Is because I choose to. I choose to not be offended. So, you can't offend me. You cannot offend me. Why? Because I've got His Word on it and His promise. Some of you have tried really hard. But you cannot offend me. Hallelujah. And some I have to enforce that on myself and use self-control on more than others because I'm not saying that you can't hurt me. You can hurt me, but you can't offend me. I've been hurt, but I refuse to be offended. I refuse to carry that offense. Why? Because I have His promise on it. So if I'm going to add all of these things and walk in this brotherly kindness, I have to choose to do it. And some of us, that's a major life switch. Right? But watch this. Let's go on. We'll close. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, what? Everything we've just read. Yeah. Right? Faith, virtue, all of the things that we've just read, if they're with you and abound in you, in other words, they're not just to be at the same level today as they are tomorrow. You're supposed to grow in it. How do you grow in it? You grow in it by learning the promises of God and beginning to walk in the promises of God. Because if He said, you can, you can. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So never let come out of your mouth that I can't. Because it's not I can't, it's I won't. But I will. do what God asked me to do. All right, come on again. Read verse 8 again. And we're going to read verse 9, then I'm going to quit. For these things are yours and abound. You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, by knowing Him, walking with Him, letting Him walk through you, these things are going to abound in your life. But he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. What's he saying? If you're born again, you know Jesus, and he's done all of this for you, and you don't walk in the things that he's talked to you about, then you're blinded. And it can even draw you back instead of pushing you forward. How many would rather go forward than back? How many love Jesus in this place? He's for you, right? He's for you. He's with you. He's given you precious and exceeding promises that you can live a life that's worthy of Him. And you're not doing it on your own. You're not doing it for show. You're doing it because you love Him and you love your brothers. Amen? Y'all get something today? Hallelujah. I'd like to pray with you and over you and just ask that if God is speaking to you in any way, that you talk to Him about that for just a few minutes and just say, Lord, I see where I've messed up or I need help, and I just believe you, God, through your grace, that you're going to give them the ability to get where you want me to be. Father, we just come before you right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we humble ourselves under the word that we've just heard. And so God, we ask you to just fill us with the knowledge of who you are. Fill us with who you want us to be. And Father, by faith and by faith in the grace that empowers us to do what you want us to do, Lord, I just ask you to make that clear to every person that's here. I have champions sitting before me, Lord. I have champions that are watching online. And God, I thank you that you're changing us from glory to glory. We're going to grow in you, Lord. And then every bit of fruit that we contain, Lord, or obtain, we're going to give you all the glory for. Because it's from you, through you, and in you. If you're in here and you're fighting with anything, just let God touch you. And if you need prayer, as the worship team comes up, if you need prayer, we'll pray for you. But all those online, God bless you. Thank you for being with us. Be blessed. If you don't know Jesus, that's the first step. Ask Him to come into your heart. Ask Him to make Himself real to you. Some of you may be even thinking, I don't know if God even exists. I thought that once. But I asked Him to make Himself real to me, and He did. And He will for you too. So just have the guts to say, Jesus, if you're real, prove it to me. Show me. And then be open, and He'll do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for joining us. God bless you. We're going to close with a worship song. Hallelujah. If you need prayer for anything, come up. The power of God is here. The presence of God is here. He'll touch you because He's faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for